good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you all. We're a little bit behind today, my car's in the garage, and just having did some breaks, but we then got in Robert's this morning, and the clutch had gone. So, bit of a moment there, but Brian came to the rescue and picked us up, and so we're a little bit behind today. But thank you, Brian. We're talking again about loving one another. There we are. So, big love from Brian this morning, rescuing us. So, anyway, good morning to everyone online, of course. And we say hello especially to Bruce and Eunice and Stuart. And thinking of you, missing you being here. So, let's pray and let's begin. A morning, Tony. Oh, Lord Jesus, just thank you for family. Thank you that when we're in a situation like that, there's always someone we can call on, our brothers and sisters. So we thank you for family. We thank you that you are our Father. And Lord, thank you that we are all here. And we do lift Bruce and Eunice and Stuart and others to you this morning. And Lord, thank you that your presence is with them. Lord, thank you that you never leave us or forsake us. So thank you that we can come and worship you in this wonderful place this morning. And to lift our praises to you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. How's it going? All right. So we're going to sing God is Working His Purpose Out. This was one of my favourites at school and church when I was little. I used to sing my heart out to it. Don't know if I can get that high now. We'll find out. So from utmost east to utmost west, wherever man has trod, by the mouth of many messengers rings out the voice of God.
God is working His purpose out, and the time is
just going to grab some water. Good morning to Rita, who's not with us today. She's with her family, so we miss her, but I hope she's having a lovely time. And we're going to sing, Jesus is Lord, o'er sin the mighty conqueror. From death he rose, and all his foes shall own his name. Jesus is Lord. God sends his Holy Spirit to show by works of power that Jesus is Lord. Amen. As last week, and if you feel you would like to just cry out in thanksgiving and adoration for the Lord, and just one line, but if you prefer to say it inside, that's okay too. And then I think after that, Graham, would you be willing to share about Dad? How he's doing? In prayer after we have that time of just praising the Lord, and then perhaps we're going to a time of prayer for Dad and Stuart and others. Okay. Yeah, I know you usually do anyway. I wanted to ask you because I think you will have seen him more often and more recently.
We're around here again today. I'm cooking Sunday lunch.
Oh, lovely.
So he won't eat much of it.
No. Listen.
Just have to wait and see.
Yeah, bless you. But we thought it'd be good for you to update because I haven't seen him for a few days. So let's bring our praise to the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, we want to lift your name on high because you are the only one. You are the Holy One. And we thank you that you make us holy through your being holy. We have so much to thank you, Lord. So we lift your name in praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you hear us, whether we speak out or say it inside. You hear every word. Thank you, Lord. And now we'd like to lift those known to us who are needing a touch of you in their lives. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I just want to basically say me and Dee have been going round Dad's quite often in view of the situation. It's not easy because for someone that's been so used to doing something which can't do it, he's finding it difficult. Mum obviously needs a lot of prayer because Bruce won't let her out of his sight 24/7 basically. He's calling her. But at the end of the day, they're a rock between themselves. She'll be there to the end. But at the end of the day, me and Dee, we go round, we see him and that. We try and get him out, take him out, like we did yesterday with Dean, and we managed to get him in the car, but no sooner he's out, he wants to be back, really, and it's exhausting for him, because by the time we've got him there in the car and got him out, as soon as he gets back, he's in a tiswas, and all he wants to do is fake out on the bed. And it's not as if he's out for hours on end or anything like that. It's just, I feel it personally, it's coming to the time where he's going to have to accept, and I know that's hard for Dad, but he's going to have to accept the fact that he ain't going to be able to do it, even with all the will in the world of us trying to get him out. He's got to come to terms, and I know he's finding it hard, that he ain't going to be able to just keep going out for rides or whatever, because it's too much on him. It's wearing him completely out, isn't it? But, and as I said, me and Dee are going around there today, going to have a turkey meal. Got all the vegetables yesterday. I had a frozen turkey, so we've taken that around. So, just like we did in old times, we'd go round for a lunch. But the only reason why I'm going to cook is to try and give Mum a little break. So that's what we're going to do today. And we are trying to keep eye on you, because you never ever know when you're going to get that call, do you really? But without Dee beside me, I find it hard anyway, because even though Dad's not my real dad, he's been my dad for nearly 50 years. So to me, he is my dad, and Mum as well. But I find it difficult when I see him the way he is. But I know it's coming. But without Dee beside me, I think I'd go to pieces. But I don't want to show Dad that, because if I show him that, that's only going to make him worse. So with Dee's help and Dee's strength beside me, I'm managing to do what I can do for Dad. It's hard because Mum's one of these, she doesn't like people to interfere, really. And no matter what you say to Mum, Mum's right. But sometimes Mum ain't right, may I say that. But at the end of the day, she's only doing what she feels she needs to do. But she's come to the fact now that she can't do it anymore. She's told Dad that she can't do it anymore. She's scared that if she falls over, and she breaks her hip or whatever, or they both go down and are in hospital, there's no telling what will happen then. So she's looking on the care side of it. So therefore, that's why Dean, me and Dee and that are stepping in as much as we can. But obviously we've got a life of our own, but we can only do so much. The rest has got to be done by the people, Lowcroft, to come in as well and try and give that bit of spiritual support, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Because I think that's what Dad is missing. Other than that, he still tries to fight on, bless him, because he has got that fight in him, believe it or not. But he still, even though he gets mixed up, he still knows what's what in his mind, because he'll go over it. And he'll say, well, that's that. I know that's that, but I've forgotten that. But I know it's that, if you know what I mean. So he's still, the elements of Bruce, the old Bruce, is still in him. And, I don't think you'll ever get rid of that, basically. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of prayer and love going out for him. And just continue to pray for him. And we're doing what I say we can do. Church is doing what they can do, and we just got to wait now. We know that Dad wants to go in glory, but he's just going to have to wait, I'm afraid. Selfishly, I'll prefer it not to be, but it's what he wants, and he just wants to be pain-free, and he's done his time.
Yeah. He's ready to go
he's
home.
Ready, he's ready to go home now. And, when the day comes, it'll be sad, very sad. But we'll be there for him, won't we? Yeah. So that's it, basically.
Yeah.
Up to date. And hopefully we'll have a nice meal today.
Yes. Yeah.
Which was, he really enjoyed it. As you know, Graham and I go singing.
Yes.
And we had a really bad couple of days with him. And I said, I know he likes Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
So I sang it a cappella.
Oh.
And they said, to Graham, why don't you record it on Deborah's phone? Because I said it's for Bruce.
Yeah.
So I played it to him and he absolutely sobbed.
Oh.
But he loved it. So that was nice. He cried, but it was lovely for him to be in his phone. So I just wanted to
say that's beautiful. Thanks for sharing.
But I know he does miss coming.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, definitely. Got to be the best song, isn't it? The best song.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you could see.
Plus, it's a witness, because I said, thank you, Jesus.
Yay. It's a great place to witness that, isn't it? Oh, so thank you for sharing. And Lord, you know it all. You've heard Graham and Deborah speak, and you know anyway, and we know that Bruce is talking to you. Stuart.
Because we do miss him.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember the times when he always used to come here, didn't he? He'd always be sat there in the corner. And, yeah, so yeah. Continue to pray out for
Stuart. Yeah. That's lovely.
Yeah, give him our love.
Yeah, amen to that. So, yeah, thank you, Lord. So we bring our prayers to a close. We think of Bruce and Eunice and Stuart and Helen. I know Helen is up and down. It's very hard for Brian as he goes there every week. 1 week she's all right, the next she's not. So, Lord, be with Brian, be with Stan, be with Helen, and bring healing to her mind, Jesus. And to each and every one of us who need your healing, we thank you for your power in healing. In your name, Jesus. Amen. So, we're going to sing, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path.
To my feet and a light unto my path.
so true. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. So Sarah is going to bring our reading this morning.
The reading today is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me, Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scriptures is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Sarah. So we're going to sing two songs now. The first one, A New Commandment I Give Unto You, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then we're going to sing, we'll go straight into it. You are the vine, we are the branches, keep us abiding in you. Then we'll grow in your love, then we'll go in your name, that the world will surely know that you have power to heal and to save.
Shall all men know that you are my disciples?
Voice this morning. Right. Where's it gone? Oh. Pop those out the way for a sec. Can I pinch this? Thanks. I think it's all right. So, as you can see, I have lots of bookmarks. And so Bruce's title for today was No Bed of Roses. And so when Alan kindly gave us homework or gave us extra because he knew he couldn't fit it all in last Sunday, I know that some of you have looked at it at home, but I know some of you haven't been able to. And so I thought, well, perhaps I'll follow he said in the papers that he gave out last week. And of course, it follows on from a true disciple that he spoke on last week, and the notes are headed The Marks of a True Disciple. So, No Bed of Roses, of course, we saw in Sarah's reading from 2 Timothy. So, I'm going to start at the very beginning. So, to start, yeah. As we approach Alan's notes and the scriptures, we give thanks that the Lord sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in us. We don't live our lives in our own strength. And if time permits, we'll look at the scriptures that Alan has listed at the end on the Holy Spirit. But I got a feeling as we started late that you might be going home with those ones. So the New Testament doesn't leave true discipleship vague or purely internal. It gives clear, observable marks. These are about perfection. These are not about perfection, you'll be pleased to know, but about direction and reality. When you put them together, a consistent picture emerges. So here are the central marks drawn directly from Jesus and the apostles. So number one, abiding in Jesus' word, which of course we've just been singing about. Jesus defines discipleship very plainly. In John 8:31 and 32, he says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I'm just going to remind us of what Sarah shared about the word. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we have his word. A true disciple doesn't just hear Jesus occasionally. They remain in, live in, and are shaped by his teaching. There's ongoing submission, not selective agreement. So ongoing submission to Jesus being Lord in our lives. Number two, love for other believers. This is the primary outward sign. In John 13, 34 and 35, it says, A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Not mere friendliness, but self-giving, sacrificial love modeled on Christ. A lack of this undermines any claim to discipleship. We move on to number three, bearing fruit. Jesus ties discipleship to visible spiritual fruit. And in John 15:8, he says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And time doesn't permit, but one of my favorite passages in the Bible is John 15, 1 to 17. So do look at that. I'm sure you know it well when you get home. And this all includes character, obedience, impact on others. And so let's look now at Galatians 5, 22 to 25. So we're looking at the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Amen. So, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. No fruit in us doesn't suggest immature discipleship. It raises the question of whether there is spirit-filled life at all. So, number four, self-denial and cross-bearing. Jesus is explicit. In Luke 9:23, he says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. A true disciple renounces self-rule, makes Christ Lord, follows Jesus even when it's costly, even to the point of death. This directly contradicts any idea of discipleship without sacrifice. Number five, supreme love for Jesus above all. Jesus raises the bar uncomfortably high. In Luke 14:26, He says, you cannot be my disciple unless you love me more than you love your father and mother, your wife and children, and your brothers and sisters. You cannot follow me unless you love me more than you love your own life. Whoever does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. And I encourage you to read on from there in Luke 14, 25 to 33. This doesn't mean neglecting responsibilities. We all have responsibilities to family and friends and others. But Jesus has absolute priority. Obedience to Jesus' commands. Discipleship is not intellectual, it's obedient. In 1 John 2:4, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And that's in 1 John 2:4 we just said. And John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And his commandments, love Jesus first, and then love one another. Those are his commandments. And Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Obedience is not the basis of salvation, but it is evidence of a real relationship with Jesus. So number seven, continuing or persevering in the faith. A true disciple doesn't just start, they continue. In Hebrews 3:14, we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. And it says, endurance under pressure, doubt or persecution is a key mark. And we look back again to Sarah's reading at the beginning, 10 to 15. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me. And this is, of course, the Apostle Paul speaking. What happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So then we move on to number eight, willingness to leave all and follow. In Luke 5:11, they literally leave everything. It says, so they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything and followed him. And in Matthew 19:29, everyone who has left houses or brothers for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold. And then we're going to look at Acts 4:32. Go the right way. So a true disciple holds everything with an open hand. And it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Amen. And then moving on to number nine, doing the will of the Father. Jesus gives a sobering warning in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but the one who does the will of my Father. There's no point in us doing good works unless we have a relationship with Jesus. He is looking at our heart intent to do his will. And then number 10, a transformed life. The apostles consistently describe disciples as changed people. We are a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are walking in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. Practicing righteousness, 1 John 3:10. Witnessing about Jesus, Acts 1:8. Not sinless, but no longer defined by sin, visibly following Jesus. So let's put it all together. If you compress all of this, a true disciple is someone who clings to Jesus' word, loves other believers, bears spiritual fruit, denies self and embraces suffering and shame for Jesus, puts Jesus above everything, obeys him, witnesses about him, shows real transformation, perseveres to the end. And then Alan talks about a necessary tension. The New Testament holds two truths together. Disciples are saved by grace, not by meeting a checklist. Praise the Lord. But discipleship is costly and visible, not merely internal or nominal. So if someone claims to be a disciple but shows none of these marks, the New Testament doesn't reassure them. It challenges that claim. So we finish with the promised helper. However, believers are not expected to live the life of discipleship by their own strength. They are called to die to self and let Christ reign in them through the Holy Spirit. And we see that in Romans 6, 3-4 and 11-14, Galatians 2:20. The New Testament presents the Holy Spirit not as an optional extra, but as the promised life source of true discipleship. The true disciple is born by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, taught by the Spirit, transformed by the Spirit, led by the Spirit. And all those titles have verses to go with them, which you'll see on your sheets. So we don't do everything in our own strength. We have the promised helper, the Holy Spirit, to guide us in all things. The key is to make Jesus Lord of our lives. Amen. So thankfully, we have Richard Siddall speaking on Pentecost, so more about the Holy Spirit. And then the following week, Alan's back with us to continue his teachings in the Holy Spirit. And I know it is one of his favourite subjects. So we look forward to all of that. And you'll also be pleased to know I've started to book in some other speakers, so you won't get me as often as you are at the moment. So I'm looking forward to them coming. So we've talked about being a new creation, now we're going to sing about it. I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God, I stand.
I am a new creation.
We've usually been joined by what we call our overflow across the banister, but they're not here. But just in case they come, it's a great song. It is a great song. Bruce loves it. You got a mind then. Oh, you got your thingy off. You'll be all right. Sung that in Exeter on Palm Sunday. hundreds of us.
It's brilliant.
Right, lovely.
Is it?
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.